Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McKusick. We're here for a special episode tonight, a short episode. Joining us, our good old friend, Brian McFarland. Brian, how you doing?
Good. How are you tonight, Ken?
Life is good. Still good. Getting over the fact the Ravens aren't in it anymore, but it is what it is. We're going to talk about cap borrowing. Now, how did this topic come up? Well, the Eagles just won the Super Bowl with one of the largest cap borrowing numbers of all time. We're going to get into that a little bit later. Obviously, people know they use a lot of void years in their contract, but the question often comes up, what are void years? How do they impact things? No better person than Brian to have on to explain that. I look at this situation, Brian, as kind of similar to the Rams a few years ago, where they won using a strategy I just hate, trading all the draft picks, trading all the number one draft picks, and being able to get into the Super Bowl doing it. It bothers me, certainly. But you also have to look at it, and you have to say, what can we take from this and possibly gain?
Yeah, I mean, it's, I'm a little the same way, kind of the old school of, it kind of is that, quandary, I guess, for lack of a better word, of, is it go all in and then, deal with the consequences later, or do you try to maximize your window and be in it every year? And, both ways work. Not every team can succeed doing both ways or either way, I guess I should say. So, that's the, and when you get, when you're like the Ravens, just to bring it into the Ravens, and you're this close this many times, it does, you get the angst, if that, for lack of a better word, of the fan base thinking, let's do it. Let's get that guy or those three guys or two guys or whatever it is that get us over the hump. And that's, that's where you have to decide, are you going to potentially, screw up your cap for a couple years down the road to get there? And obviously, you mentioned the Eagles. Yeah, obviously, it worked for them. There are plenty of teams that have not worked for. Yep. I've worked for the Rams, obviously, and theirs was a little different way of doing it, because, as you said, it was more about trading for high-value guys and giving up draft picks to do so.
Hasn't worked for the Saints. Hasn't worked for the Browns.
No. Those are the other two. When it comes to void years, the 49ers are getting up there, too, with void years these days. But, yeah, and the Saints did it out of necessity, basically, because – they weren't really using void years, but they were kept restructuring Drew Brees at the end of his career, and they paid the piper once he retired. And then they thought they still had a window, I guess the best way to put it. And they started using void years, and a lot of teams, because of the pandemic, a lot of teams started using void years too, but certainly not to, it's certainly strategically. The Browns and the Eagles certainly have tried to do it strategically, one successfully and one historically unsuccessfully, I guess we'll say.
Yeah. Well, one person I know said, you never waste a perfectly good crisis. I think some famous person has said this, but anyway, somebody I know has said, and the pandemic was a case where the Ravens certainly got hurt by it, in terms of they were a team that was close to the cap. Some teams that were under the cap, their available cap dollars got essentially made more valuable. I don't want to say inflated, because that generally has a term that you're making them less valuable, but they got increased in value by the fact that there was a lower pool of total cap dollars available to spend.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Ravens really were in great shape prior to the pandemic. They were coming up. They were obviously on Lamar's rookie deal. 21 was the first year they could have extended him, but the cap went down, was it 20, almost 26 million from 20 to 21. And that's where a lot of teams, Yeah, 25.7 million. So that's where a lot of teams started using void years and doing things they otherwise probably wouldn't have, because they basically had to. And then all of a sudden, oh, look at all these teams using void years, like it was some great, you know, some great cap maneuver that nobody had ever thought of. Well, they'd always been there, but teams shied away from them because of what they can do to you in the future. And so, you know, I said old school earlier. I've come around a little more to them in the right uses, in smaller. Sometimes you use them in bigger deals like Lamar's, or sometimes in smaller deals. But I don't like the, you know, wholesale use of them for sure.
Talk about the basics of cap borrowing. Maybe start with that. Borrowing is generally a good thing. By the way, this is true in business as well. You know, you get a tax shield from money you borrow, and so a lot of companies like to maintain a certain amount of debt. And we're going to try and come back to that at the end of this. Is maybe what's a good amount of debt you want to have, because your interest is tax deductible. You really have a lower cost of capital on those dollars that you borrow. So as opposed to raising equity, for example, you're the other major way in which companies get cash. So in football, the value of spending tomorrow's dollars today is that you're going to be spending a significantly inflated dollar from tomorrow, and you're spending it today when it has full value. So there are reasons to do it. There's certainly reasons why, but it does lead you into the risk of more of the roller coaster parody that the NFL has built for itself.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, fans, I think, sometimes get a little too upset or worried about dead money, you know, and part of that probably is my fault, as I've kind of helped the fan base understand the cap a little bit. But, you know, it's a cost of doing business. You know, and you're going to make deals that you're going to end up having dead money because you re-signed an aging guy who you wanted to keep around for a couple of years. And you knew at the end there was going to be some dead money because you only knew that shelf life for that player was coming to an end. And then obviously you unfortunately make bad deals, and every team makes bad deals, and you've got to cut bait. And that's money that you've already paid the player. So then it's just a figuring out the best way to get out from under it, because at some point you want to stop paying the player. You got to stop paying the player. You're not going to keep paying the player, you know, $10 million a year just because you've got dead money on the back end. And the huge increase on the cap has certainly helped with that, because we've certainly seen, I mean, Russell Wilson was what, $50 million in dead money on the cap last year. And we've seen Carson Wentz and some other quarterbacks with that kind of stuff. So those are kind of things that, you know, in the end, you have to accept. And that's part of the credit card, if you want to call it that. And, you know, teams have gotten, I think, better about figuring out how to get around that and maneuver around that if they need to.
Just as a public service announcement here, Odell Beckham will be, I think, $8.4 million against the cap for the Ravens in 2025. So
the gift that
keeps on giving.
Right, exactly. And that was something they felt they had to do at that time. Whether it really impacted Lamar re-signing or not, I don't know. But, you know, I kind of look at it as at, you know, right after that, Lamar decided it was time to re-sign. So I'll take the pain from that, so to speak, because they got Lamar done. Maybe that's being an optimistic, you know, approach to it, but that's where I am at least.
All right. So one thing that I think fans do that sometimes aggravates me, I'm sure it aggravates you maybe to a lesser degree, is that they look at the cap as a 1 year figure, as they, you need to get under the cap this right now, and damn the future. I don't care about that. Right there is excessive credit card use when you're not even considering what the impact of it is in the future. But talk about some ways, you know, simple restructures. We start with that the teams kick the can down the road.
Sure. I mean, that's the main way of void years would be the other, but the main way of kicking the can down the road is restructure, because you're already in the contract at that point. So you're just moving cap dollars around. It's an accounting maneuver, basically. Mm-hmm. So the player's getting the same amount of money. But you're just taking, you know, you're taking a $10 million salary, knocking it down to $1 million, and you're taking that $9 million, that difference. And let's just say there's three more years on the deal that gets spread out over those 3 years. So you've basically, or two more years, so the present year plus two. So you're basically taking that $10 million cap number, and now that bonus, that $9 million bonus is only counting $3 million in the present year. So that $10 million cap number just went down to $4 million. Yep. So you've just saved $6 million in the present. But what that does is it adds $3 million onto the next year's cap and $3 million onto the following year's cap. So there's your credit card. You know, there's now if, again, sometimes you have to, and sometimes if you're strategic about it, that you could, you know, certainly you can work around it. But when you have to do wholesale, heck, the reason I started learning the salary cap was the purge year for the Ravens. And they basically restructured everybody in 2001 to try and, win back-to-back Super Bowls before they had to blow it up. Well, it didn't work and they had to blow it up. And, you know, all the Baltimore media could say was, you know, they had to cap reasons. They had to cut everybody because of cap. Well, what does that mean? So that's how I got into this. And that's basically what they did. So, you know, wholesale like that is generally not a good idea. And that's probably why they've taken a more even approach since then. Because I remember Ozzy saying he would never do that again. And, you know, DaCosta being his loyal lieutenant, I'm sure feels the same way. So I think that's why. And even Bisciotti said that as well. He said he wants to always have an opportunity to win a Super Bowl, not have to take a couple years off.
And let me tell you, that 7-9 year the Ravens had, that is the best possible outcome from a cap. That was, first of all, it was a fun year of trying to see a scrappy group of mostly young players getting their first chance for playing time. You know, Ed Reed, Anthony Weaver, Adalis Thomas was really coming into much more playing time.
Heap as well, yeah.
Heap, there's a good one.
Yeah.
There's many more.
Yeah,
there's a lot more. Bart Scott got playing time that year for the first time. Anyway, the point is that that's as good as it can possibly be as a fan. If you have to go to the games and you already have bought your PSL, that's in the back end. All that borrowing, in some ways, from the PSL holders.
Right.
But all you've bought your PSL and you now have to buy your tickets every year. That's the best possible situation. It can be horrible. It can be like 2015, which is an unavoidable non-cap, you know, reasons why that team went down the toilet. It was all injury related, but it could be a lot worse than what happened that year.
Oh, that's one of my favorite years. And I think that was one of Brian Billick's best coaching jobs.
Yeah.
But that was, you went to the games not really expecting anything. So when they did win or even made it a fun game, it was worth it. Now, obviously, these days that would be harder because we're so used to, you know, since then, we've had so many years of success and obviously even recently, not many down years in between other than, again, injuries. But so, yeah, I mean, that kind of year is fun, but you don't want to necessarily have to go through that either.
Yeah, this generation, all they've known is affluence. They didn't have to live through D-Day or the crash.
Oh my gosh.
You want to talk to your grandparents about that.
Right. or the 1631-1 of the first three Ravens years. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want those years to be forgotten, but that was certainly, they were not great in terms of the March of Brody years in terms of.
No, for sure.
Okay. So we want to talk about the durational nature of this, and maybe we can weave this into some of the other things we're talking about, but talk about the Ravens' position in terms of cap and in terms of specifically in terms of prorated bonuses and future guarantees relative to other teams.
Yeah, there was a good, we had kind of started this conversation, I guess, late last week, and there was a really good graph that had been put together that I can't find right now. Where'd it go?
Right. The Eagles were at the top of the list, though.
Yes. There it is. Yes. So it was a really good graph done by, it was done off of Over the Cap's data, but and the Eagles are at the top. So it included prorated bonuses, guaranteed salary, and dead money for this year and beyond. So into the future. And the Ravens were a ninth in that. And you know, and that a lot of that has to do with the quarterback, obviously, because there's a lot, you know, there's more guaranteed money. There's going to be some, there's two void years there for Lamar, but it's only $12.5 million if it came to that, which is compared to most of the numbers. I mean, for instance, we're talking about the Eagles. So Lamar's contract, if he left after 27, there would be $12.5 million in dead money. Jalen Hurts, if he leaves after his contract goes a year longer till after 28, the Eagles, if they were not to re-sign him, they would have $97.5 million in dead money because of the void years. That'll keep his cap number very low for the next couple years. And that then obviously coming off of the Super Bowl, they've gotten, you know, you could say maybe they've gotten what they want out of that, but I don't know how, and I don't know where the cap will be at that point. You know, it could be 100. I guess it could be $350 million. So maybe, you know, I'm assuming that's what they're counting on. And they're counting on him playing well, and they'll extend him, and that'll spread that out. So
that's the really big point, because the Browns are number two in this category in terms of total borrowing. We'll get to what those total numbers are in just a second. But the Browns did it with basically Deshaun Watson was the catalyst, but they did it with everybody. If you look at their 2025 numbers already, even during 2024, all those numbers had already been mortgaged to Hilt, the 25 numbers.
Yeah. And part of that was because they saw the writing on the wall, I think, with Deshaun Watson, and they were trying to create more. They don't want to restructure him again. They're going to have to probably. And they added more void years to the end of his deal to spread that out further. And they'll probably just do that. And they'll do that this year. They'll do that next year. And I think he's done after next year.
That's great.
And they'll just have a lot of void money hanging out there.
So it's good point. Now they're going to pay for Deshaun. They have $92 million left on the deal in 25 and 26.
Right.
And you're saying they're going to restructure further to push some of that money out into 27 more than likely.
Probably though, I would think they would this year, because I think his cap number this year is $72 million. Because they've already restructured him every year, which is somewhat what happens with quarterback contracts. But at some point, I don't know where it is for every team. But I guess hierarchy, you know, every team's front office feels differently. But I mean, at this point, they're throwing good money after bad, in my opinion.
Right.
I mean, they're better off. They're better off doing what Denver did last year with Wilson. And just being, but they've already restructured him a couple of times. So they haven't accounted for on the cap a lot of that money. I mean, he's had $46 million cap base salaries for the last 2 years plus two more, these two next two. Mm-hmm. And they've restructured him twice to drop that, which just pushed that, and that created more dead money. There's the credit card again.
Yeah, that's a good point. So the $92 million, I mean, is only the additional money
cash.
They owe him. That's cash.
The cash.
And the cap actually hits for these next two seasons. Do you want to tell us what those are? Because they're scary.
Yeah, let me look. So like I said, it's 72 this year. And then the next year, I believe it's in the same realm. And then we get to, I actually didn't look at what his void money is.
So they could potentially be looking at March 2027 release.
Well, oh, so that's right. So what they did, so it's not so bad yet. But what they did was they added a 27 year. He was originally going to be a free agent in 27, but when they redid his deal back, it was late December, early January, they added that year. Similar to what the Ravens did with Odell Beckham last year, they added that year to allow them to spread out that void money over 2 years.
Is it just a poison pill year, effectively, that he'll never stay for that?
It's the same thing what they did with Marcus Williams. Well, Marcus Williams was already under contract for the next 2 years, but they basically set it up so instead of all the void money, which again is why I'm pretty sure they're going to restructure. Because they're setting it up so that they can reduce that 70. So actually, he only has about almost $27 million in void money technically in 2027. So it's not terrible. But it's going to get worse because I'm pretty sure they're going to restructure him this year and next year. And that will push that money out. And then they will, in 27, when he otherwise would have been a free agent, that now he's got a dummy year in there so that they can, they'll release him with the post June 1, take a chunk of it in 27, and then the rest in 28. Yeah.
Poor Browns fans, because they thought they were getting Deshaun Watson, three number one draft picks go out the door, plus change. Then all the, you know, the allegations are known at the time they signed him. They
went, that's the thing, yeah. Thing.
But they did go ahead and sign him under those terms. They had a lot of other talented players on that roster, Nick Chubb and Myles Garrett, of course, and a host of others.
The offensive line, yeah, a bunch of offensive linemen, yeah.
All good examples. And all those players basically had their window shut with their necks in it.
Yeah.
While they're waiting for this crap to end. And that's why Myles Garrett is asking for a trade now, which provides them not relief, even more problems in terms of getting their cap under control.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They're the new Saints at this point. And, you know, the Saints have reached that pretty much critical mass, I think, this year. Because obviously they traded Lattimore last year, and they're going to have to cut a bunch of guys. They probably will do a post June 1 with Carr to get rid of him, because his cap number is like $51 million this year. That's the downside to restructuring and using void years. The Ravens actually, because there's another list we had talked about, Nick Corti from Over the Cap put out, how much money each team has in void years. Philadelphia is almost $400 million. Now, granted, 97 of that, as I said earlier, is Jalen Hurts. Now, the Ravens on his list are just under $51 million, so they're 11th on that list. But I looked at those numbers, and that's a bit deceiving. Half of that will come off this year, because that's Odell Beckham, who's clearly a void year guy. Aguilar's clearly a void year guy. But included in that also are Stanley, who's not really a void year guy, even though this year became a void year, because this was what would have been 25 would have been the last year of his extension he signed back in 19, I think it was. So this, it's really not tech. So most of the dead money from Stanley, other than, so it's about 8.1 million. Only 1.5 of that has anything to do with the void year. And the rest, the 6.5 is prorations from his original deal. Right. So that's not really, I wouldn't call that a void year personally. And then Marcus Williams is 6.7, but he technically was under contract for 25 and 26. So they basically just shortened the deal. He gave up money so that they could do the June 1 and get release and get the relief, the $9.9 million, immediately. But to give that up, they added the void year so that they wouldn't say, okay, well, we got you on the books for $2.1 million. Now you took the $9.9 million pay cut. We'll keep you around for that. So they added the void year to protect him from that. So both of those, that's almost $15 million there. That's real of that 50 million. It's really not dead. That's really not void year money, in my opinion. But
accounting trick, and $6 million of it doesn't count.
Right.
There's still about $9 million of true void money on the cap thereabouts.
So after this year, Lamar will still be there. At Ibike, so they're both about $12 million, and then Humphrey's about 1.8. So that's cutting that $50 million after this year down to basically half. Now they may add some more void years on some contracts going forward this year, but that number's a little deceiving, because I was surprised when I saw the Ravens being that high, and then I looked into it, I was like, well, yes and no, in my opinion.
So the Ravens are fairly close to a mean number for the league. They're obviously above the median if they're 11th, or ninth, whichever they were, but they're fairly close to a mean number for the league, which is highly influenced obviously by the $400 million and change, or $400 million or so, that the Eagles have right there.
Yes.
That's like,
Yeah, I don't know.
That house at $13 million per team almost.
Yeah, I don't know if he did on that one. He did on Dead Money. He did another list that did Dead Money. But I don't know if he did what the average was. Yeah, because some teams don't have, some teams don't have hardly any. But then he also did a one with Dead Money. And I looked at that too. And so Dead Money is that credit card that, you know, we've been talking about. But the Ravens have actually been below the mean and the median most years. I know, again, you know, Ravens say, oh, that's so much dead money. It's $20 million in dead money. Well, that's, again, cost of doing business. And that's what most teams have these days. And now the dead money numbers are, again, you know, like last year. Where's that one? That one was, I think it was like 50 million was the 40 some million was the average on that. In dead money. But, you know, again, Russell Wilson's there at 53, you know, so there's some numbers there that that skew that certainly a bit. But the Ravens, I went back through it, and actually I think the only year that they were above the average was 19, and that's when they had $16 million in dead money from Flacco. Huh. So they had $32 million total that year. But six or a little over 30, actually less than 32, but 16 of that was from Flacco, which was one of the biggest hits at that time.
Was there a post June 1 designation on Flacco?
No, because he was traded. So traded, they right. ate it all, and they were in decent enough cap shape because, again, it was before the pandemic. They're in decent enough cap shape that they wanted to take it all in 19 and keep 20 and 21 more clear. So that, again, because they were, you know, they were worried about, or they were, you know, they were thinking, you know, there's going to be an extension at some point for Lamar. And I, you know, the pandemic really hurt that. I really believe that really, really became problematic there.
Events could you foresee that might cause a cataclysm to the cap other than a pandemic? I've got one other in mind, but I want to hear what you have to say.
Well, I mean, you know, stock market crash, you know, any war, anything like that. I mean, all of those would be cataclysmic, as you said. So were either of those yours or do you have another one?
Those are good unknown unknowns as far as things that could really, abuse the cap in a way. The other one I would think of is if there's another major lawsuit against the NFL, and I can think of two major ones that could really hit the league badly. One is any kind of a big time integrated scandal involving gambling. The owners have embraced gambling at a level I really am not comfortable with. Yeah. I'm looking at this like it's 1919 again, literally, in terms of how scary the interweaving of gambling and sports has become. And they have penalties for the players. That's one side of it. But, you know, you've got the officials, you've got potentially the owners, you've got elements of collusion that can occur because the NFL wants a certain outcome. I think that's actually the least likely and potentially the most damaging if it were to occur. So if you believe in the whole Taylor Swift thing and they really need to get her to the Super Bowl to increase the viewership and they're willing to do anything to do it, then, you know, how they assign officiating crews could be something that you'd be concerned about. And I don't want to bring that up as a thing again. I don't know that it's a concern at this point. I do wish they had a juror selection methodology of saying no to an officiating crew for the teams. But that'd be one. And so any kind of thing involving gambling. The other one would be a lawsuit over a player safety issue for a previously unknown thing. Like, let's say we were to relate playing football to, you know, eight times the incidence of Alzheimer's or something.
Right.
So CTE already has some of that built in. I can say this. Transamerica, where I worked, had the long-term care insurance for the NFL. So in their cafeteria benefits, which are some of the most extraordinary benefits you will ever see, unless you're privy to seeing C-suite type benefits that are at a completely different level from everybody else. The most incredible benefit package I've ever seen is the NFL's.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things they gave the players option to is buy their own long-term care insurance from Transamerica. And the additional morbidity factor would scare the living bejesus out of the players if they understood what it was for what their expected morbidity was. I believe the answer is 53% higher, by the way.
Wow.
So, you know, it's you wouldn't want to be in that group. You can avoid it.
Well, and if something like that happens, I mean, the whole game changes, you know, and the whole league changes perhaps. So yeah. especially the gambling one more, you know, and I don't know. I feel like the NFL is a train that can't be stopped at this point. I'm not sure what can, but other than, like I said, a war or something like that, perhaps, where everything, the world changes so drastically that sports is not important anymore.
We'd have to look back at kind of how baseball lost its spot as being the national pastime. I mean, at one point, there wasn't really professional football. There was college football, and then you were done. Yeah. And baseball has been remarkable in terms of was remarkable. And then they lost it all. They lost it all, I think, in kind of a series of step downs that began in probably about the 1950s or 60s. But they lost it over time. It could happen to the NFL. I just don't know what that next great sport is. Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious high potency gummies, top shelf flower, home baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary. You can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
Your old or broken phone can let you down, but at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence with a new line on MyPlan and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. After all, you don't want your old phone to die on you when you're lost.
Perfect.
Or for your broken phone to glitch at the worst possible time.
Hey, can I get your number?
Oh. Trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad.
Kind of hope it's not UFC or
right. Right.
Or NASCAR. That would be another one I wouldn't want it to be.
Right.
All right. Let's keep going here.
Sure.
Okay. Want to talk about the annual growth in the cap, because that's something that offsets and makes it look good any judgments that you make about borrowing future cap. You kind of have this underwriting current that's going in the same direction you're swimming, and that's growth in the cap that's averaged about 6.25% since 2017 that I can see. By the way, does that match the longtime historical norms? I know the recent years have been very volatile with the pandemic. But this 6.25% since 2017.
Yeah, it was actually, because I actually put those numbers together. So, there was a new CBA in 2020, but the prior one was 2011, and that one took a big step back. The owners won that one so much, the cap actually fell back, and then from 11 to 12, it went up. What basically 0.1% or 0.2%. It went up 300 million, not 300 million, 300,000. I'm sorry. That's all it went up, 300,000. So, but then once it started kicking in from 14, 15, 16, it was 8.1, 7.7, 8.3. 7.5. That was
2000. What the cap was?
So 2000. Yeah. So 2000. So 17 was it started going down then, though.
Give me the total dollar of the cap in 2017.
Oh, the total dollar from 17 was 167.
167. Oh, oh, oh.
Yes. Even yes.
Okay. And I'm going to divide that by what was it in 2000?
2000 was 198.2. 2000. Oh, 2000. I don't have 2000. I don't have all the way
how
back.
How far back can you go?
I just have 11, which was just 120.375.
Okay, let's do that.
I just went from that CBA. That was the CBA.
Okay, so it went up 39% in a period of 2011 to 17, right? So 1 enters 6 divided by y to the x. So it's an average of 5.6% per year. So even with a pandemic pothole that they just drove through over the last 8 years, they've still had the cap go up by more than it did between 11 and 17.
Yeah, and it's interesting because this since it started going back up again, so it went down 15 million in 21, to almost 16 million in 21. The following year, 22, it went up almost 26 million. Mm-hmm. So that was a 14% jump.
Yep.
Then in 23, it was only an 8% jump. Last year, it was almost a 14% jump again.
Only an
8%. Yeah. So, and then this year, I'm not sure where it's going because it's usually at the owners' meeting in December, the league gives the teams a projection, and they declined to do so this year.
Uh-oh.
And the report was that there was still some COVID credits that needed to be resolved, which struck me as odd when it went up 25 million, 16, almost 17 million, and 30 million over the last 3 years. So I thought that would have been resolved because why not just take it out of those big increases?
So when they did decline to say what it would be, now to be clear to everybody who's out there, you may know, you may not, but the CBA doesn't allow for the owners to just decide what the cap is. The cap is a percentage of revenue.
It is, and there's some negotiation that goes on back and forth between the Players Association. And if there are cap credits still there, because what happened is the cap went down so much, they borrowed from future caps.
Right.
So I kind of, because of the steep increases the last couple of years, I figured that had been taken out of those. But maybe they weren't. So so now we're talking, the numbers we're doing is kind of back into the 6 to 7 increase range based on what most people are more knowledgeable than me about the league as far as that goes. Now, there was some thought that they had this big judgment, the DirecTV judgment. It's on appeal right now, and maybe the league was going to go back. Now, I don't know how that would play out because was that the owner's fault? And would the Players Association say, that's not our problem, that doesn't affect the cap because revenue went down because you had to pay a big check because that's you guys did that deal and, you know, that was your problem, not ours.
You benefited from it.
Yeah. Or was the idea that maybe – they were going to start setting some money aside each year to cover that if they lose the appeal, which still could be years away at this point. So those kind of things have been floated around of why they weren't willing to give this estimate. And, you know, here we are, we're a month away from, less than a month now. The 12th is the beginning of the new league year. So, so we're less than a month away. Usually we'd be getting a number, you know, sometime early March. So hopefully that'll hold. But yeah, so I mean, that's the interesting thing about how much the cap will go up this year and even in future years, if that issue, it becomes a problem.
Okay. So when we talk about there being an 18th game added to the season, the players will probably agree to that. And I would assume probably before the next CBA is agreed to. Would you make the same judgment that'll happen in these 5 years?
Yeah, I mean, who knows? I mean, the players, you know, the new NFLPA president came out and said, no way. Of course, that's generally the first step in negotiations. You don't
that's
say,
a signal.
Sure.
That's not a no.
Yeah, exactly. I believe the league had the right to add a 17th game under the terms of the old CBA. I don't believe they had a right to add an 18th. So the players, in theory, could stall until the next negotiation, and that, who knows? I mean, you know, that'll be a brawl one way or another, probably. Whether that's the players' okay, well, we'll give you your 18th game, but we want X, Y, and Z back. So, I mean, that's right, kind of their piece of leverage there that they have, because unfortunately the players don't often have a lot of leverage, because once it comes time to get paid and they're not getting paid, you know, the ranks often break and then a deal gets done.
Well, they have the if there are cap credits still out there, which was the point I was getting to. Yep. Could the owners basically buy it off them? Could take the cap credits, throw away the cap credits, or ignore them for the 18th game?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's possible. Who knows what the numbers would, because we have no idea if the cap credits is really the issue, or if it's the COVID credits still, or if it's this monster judgment that's sitting out there, or it has to be something, because otherwise. We'd be hoping for another 15 to 16 to 17 million increase, or 30 million like it was last year. Because this is now the gambling money is in. Now all the new TV deal money is in. So, I mean, the cap should be jumping, other than these potential other issues out there on the horizon.
Okay, now there's a bunch of, I know baseball teams have really gotten into this, but I don't know if this is included in football revenue in the same way, or this would be separated. Like groups like SeatGeek, which resell your tickets, obviously, and they create this secondary market. I thought the teams were now getting a share of that as well. So the Ravens have made certain groups there exclusive. Is the general NFL revenue fund, does it participate in those dollars, or are they individual ticket dollars?
That's an interesting question, because that really didn't exist back in 2020 when the CBA. So whether that would fall into whatever the parameters of the, because I mean, there's stadium credits and there's tickets and there's, they all share a lot of this stuff. And obviously the TV deals and now the gambling being big parts of it. So that, I don't know if that would fall into the revenue, or if that would be something that had been fall under something that had already been excluded. It may be part of the negotiation the next time around, for sure.
I mean, I can only tell you, completely pissed off about it as an Orioles season ticket holder, as a Ravens season ticket holder, that somebody's sees fit to dump a bunch of metal and dirt and sand into the gears of ticket operation to make it difficult to sell your tickets and create a loser on both sides, effectively.
Yeah.
Divisible
for sure.
Loss.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah.
All right. Let's keep moving here. I think we talked about the void years. Go back to the relative void years or relative future money for all the teams. You kind of talk through from the top what those look like.
Sure. So that was, again, the Eagles were far and away the winners.
$500 million.
So that's over. Sorry, hold on.
Just in the case of the Eagles, he's having to talk to his dog here for a second. But in the case of the Eagles, they have borrowed almost two full years of future cap in their current system.
Yeah, they're over $500 million there. The Browns aren't far behind. They're over $500 million too. Then the Jaguars, which is an interesting one.
Yep.
A lot of this is quarterbacks, obviously, and all three of those are on big quarterback deals. An interesting one, the next one, which is granted only, quote-unquote,
yep,
over $400 million, is the 49ers, who have a quarterback on a rookie deal. Now,
So that one will now,
this is 25 and beyond. After 25, maybe a lot of those numbers will come down. As I mentioned with the Ravens, a lot of the void year money will come off the Ravens number. So, but the 49ers have done what you're supposed to do, I guess you could say, when you have a rookie, quarterback on a rookie deal, and you build around that. And you spend around that, and then you worry about, you hope you get the trophy before then. Now, obviously, they've been to Super Bowls and they haven't. So, and then you have the Dolphins, which, they put out a lot of big contracts. The Saints are there. The Cowboys are high. but almost half of that is Dak's brand new deal. So,
right.
You know, when that, and that's probably why the Jags are so high too, because that's a new brand new quarterback deal. So you've got all that, guaranteed money sitting there. Whereas obviously later in the deal, there's less guaranteed money.
Right. Exactly. So very durationally dependent. Now, Trevor Lawrence is an interesting case because there's been talk about him going to the Steelers. I hate that idea. But on the other, from an APA or a card perspective, or from a Stratomatic card perspective, but I also doubt that it could really happen.
No.
So just some Bleacher Report guy says, you know what I'm going to do? Let's throw a dart here.
They're not the only site like that, but I don't know how many times I get questions about, you know, oh, is this possible? And I'm like, no. And I know you commented on the Marlon Humphrey trade. Like the Ravens would even consider trading Marlon Humphrey, much less for that return was not, I mean, he's more valuable than that return, which was probably a fair return, maybe. I don't know, you know. But, you know, I didn't look at it that closely. But, yeah, they come up with some just harebrained, utterly harebrained ideas.
They obviously clicks, some, you know, sort of engagement out of it.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah. It's all for clicks.
All right. I think we talked a little bit about things that could go horribly wrong with the cap, you know, war, gambling scandal, health lawsuit, you know, some economic crash obviously could certainly do it if everybody had to pull back on spending. So when the cap goes right, and you just tell me if I have this right, you're beating your expected growth profile at least on average over an extended period. So if the Eagles in their models have borrowed $550 million, $590 million, whatever it is against the cap, and they say, this is built on the assumption that we're going to get 6.5% per year of growth. And they've gotten 6.25% per year so far. And they think, oh, we got some gambling things. They'll work out and it'll be a higher growth than that. So our dollars will be inflated more. Those future dollars will be worth less. That's a better way to put it. Mm-hmm. The dollars we pay are worth more now to assemble this team. We'll come out looking pretty out of that. That's when borrowing against the cap goes right for a team. Sure. Is that essentially right?
Yeah. I mean, it is. But again, there's the flip side of the Browns, who have kind of done the same thing and it didn't work out for them. So, and of course, fully guaranteed contract, that's another whole fly in the ointment, I guess, for them. And clearly they're not the front office that the Eagles are. And the Eagles have done great drafting. I mean, you know, look, obviously their corner and their slot this year were, you know, all pro, you know, level guys in their, on their first year as a rookie, you know, so, and they're, you know, the defensive line they've rebuilt over the last couple of years with a lot of younger guys. It was old a couple of years ago, and now they got a bunch of young guys in there. So, you know, that's, I mean, you know, we've discussed this many times before, but I mean, that's the key. I mean, that's what the Rams have done too. And they got themselves out of the hole after the Super Bowl is if you draft well. And even the Rams, when they didn't have first round picks, were drafting pretty well. Okay. Yep. Yeah. You know, with the lower picks, they had a ton of them and they would draft. And, you know, that's why DeCosta always says, they're all lottery tickets. And the more tickets you have, the more chance you have to win.
I hate that terminology. You know, you probably heard me say, but I want it to hurt as World Series of Poker entries, because that's what they really are. It's not Phil Ivey and me have the same chance to win the World Series of Poker. We both played in it. But right. He's got 16 times the chance I've got right. to win the whole thing. You know?
So. Yeah, I got you. Yeah, because you obviously better teams are better at it. And so, yeah absolutely. So, so, I mean, I think that's, it comes down to, yes, is there a way? And I'm sure these teams have, as you said, they have this calculated out. I mean, you know, we heard, I don't know if you saw the, when DeCosta did a podcast with Mick Shea right before the Super Bowl. And he was talking about, how they evaluate players and how they have their own proprietary program. Mm-hmm. And he even mentioned the fact that they have some Madden ratings in it too. small part, as he said, but you know, but I'm sure they do that for the cap too. These are the things I would love to know. Yeah. I'd love to be able to sit in on, as every fan would, you know, but I'd love to sit in when, you know, when Harbaugh and DeCosta and and Nick Mateo, who's really pretty much running the cap now, when they go down to Jupiter and hang out with Bisciotti for the weekend and they lay their, you know, their plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D out, as far as, you know, I'd love to be able to sit in and, you know, get an understanding of what, you know, what these, you know, what their system is and how they calculate these things. You know, it's easy for, you know, it's easy for me to say, okay, this, and you said this in the beginning, this is the cap this year, but it's harder for me to say, well, what is the cap going to be next year and the year after? It's harder for me when I'm planning out, when I'm trying to put together, okay, well, this would be a good contract, a good contract extension for Lamar. Well, if this is going out to 2030, what is the cap going to be? I have no idea. They have an, you know, they have an idea, you know, and that's the kind of stuff I'd really love to know.
Yeah, if it grew by 5% per year till 2030, by the way, it would go up by 27.6%. If it grows by 10% per year to 2030, it'll be 61% higher. Completely different in terms of how you think about it. And by the way, those intervening years are obviously higher too.
Yeah.
So how you project the NFL's growth as an industry is central to your team planning. I wonder what kind of secrecy there is in terms of the accounting for things that they can't even tell the other owners at a certain point.
Yeah. I mean that, and I'm sure that the, you know, when they said they weren't giving a you know, guesstimate at the, I'm sure they gave reasons, and so they had to have some explanation. And they may have said, well, we're not expecting it to go up, you know, as much as it went up last year, the 14% it went up last year. I would think they would have given some explanation, but who knows? Cause it's never gotten out. That's for sure.
So let's say they have two things that they're not sure about. Okay. One is COVID credits and the other is DirecTV lawsuit. They still could do what actuaries would do in this situation, give sensitivity testing on the thing and say, okay, we're going to assume that there's an A and a B and a C level for where that lawsuit is going to fall in. And here's how it would impact the cap. And then they can say, here's a couple of choices for how these COVID credits can work. And it's an A or a B. Maybe it's probably you do them or you don't do them. Mm. Maybe there's a halfway place there too. But you might even make your decision on the COVID credits based on how bad the DirecTV situation is.
And absolutely. I mean, they could be tied together, but that's where, because that's part of that, where you get the Players Association, they have to come to an agreement on how to address those things. And then does 18 games. Let's talk about 18 games now too. Yeah, and, you know, you get, or the players say, well, you know, and there's some issue that the Players Association might not be happy about. They're like, well, okay, well, let's work on that. But, you know, this other issue here, we should address now too, because there's always side letters to the agreement that address these kind of things, or the CBA that address these kind of things. So I'm not saying that happened, but you know, that's the way negotiations happen sometimes. Well, we're giving up a little too much here to you, but we'll work with you. But we got this other thing over here we kind of like address now and not wait till 2020 or 2030.
Right. Okay. Well, all makes sense. And so there is a little more fluidity to the CBA as years roll forward in terms of each side, you know, having things they want and the possibility of getting them enacted.
Yeah.
I wonder, once the 18th game of the season is in though, what do the players have left? I know there was player tracking data. There was a real question of who owned that at one point. Has that all been resolved at this point?
You know, I'm not sure. I don't remember hearing a resolution one way or another. Yeah.
Okay. Cause that's an interesting one. Obviously players are, first of all, highly invested probably in that not being given away for free at the least.
There's absolutely
current players who don't want to have it be out on themselves.
Right.
You know, but there's players who, you know, there's certainly players who want to get paid for it if that data is used otherwise.
Yeah. And I don't remember when they jumped to 17, I'm at a loss right now, what they did. Rookie contracts and things like that are easy because they're set, you know, the base salary set. So you just divide by, well, in this case, you divide by 18 because you get paid on the bye week, and then you multiply that out. So you would just do that, you know, you would just add that to the end. But the players that have a $5 million salary, I don't remember how they address that. I don't think they address that in the cap, because they really couldn't, because it wasn't planned. And teams obviously planned their cap out, years. So I think that would became part of the player benefit. That's that other piece of the salary cap, where the health insurance is and the pension is and and things like that. So when we talk about a salary cap, you know, if we talk about last year being $255.4 million, that's the player salary part of the salary cap. There's a benefit portion on top, and that portion is usually it's usually doubled.
It's a percentage of revenue, though. Also,
yeah, it's all one calculation. Yes, and then part of once you get this is the number. Part of that goes to pension. Part of that goes, and then to these other things, and then the balance then goes to. The balance of that goes to player salaries, to what we call the salary cap. That's all we care about.
Right. Okay. So it's what is the current player portion of the salary cap in total?
Well, last year it was 255. This year,
no, I'm sorry, not in dollars, in terms of percentages.
Of the whole revenue. It's just under 50%. It's 49. It goes. When they added the 17th game, it went up. But again, that's the whole portion, and then that gets divvied up amongst these other things.
Okay, so in a league where they have 250 whatever in salary cap, and they might have another 40 million in benefits, and I don't know the exact number, but let's say it was a number like that, it still might mean 600 million is the total revenue of the league.
Yeah, let me look up, because I just updated. I might as well plug it now. My cap FAQ on Russell Street Report, and I just updated that, and I did have last year's numbers in that. So let me find that. Come on.
All right. This is
we can come back to that. Yeah.
it's absolutely great talking football with you. I guess I'll ask one more question. That is, do you expect the 18th game to come with a second bye week? That's important for fans in terms of.
I would think so. Yeah, I would think. I mean, if I'm the players, I'm certainly arguing for that. I don't see. But that makes it crazy. So does that put the Super Bowl in? Because I did see something recently that Super Bowl in 2 years is going to be on the 14th. It will be on Valentine's Day.
Oh, that's okay.
Because it was joking with people joking, like, plan ahead. Back to that. So in 24 last year, the total player cost was $329 million, and the cap was $255 million.
Right.
So, and that other part, again, is player benefits, a bunch of different things. There's some things that players get, the veteran salary benefit, where the player gets a reduced cap number that hits the benefits side. So what they're not getting paid by the team because of the reduced salary, that gets picked up off of the other side, and it doesn't count against the team's cap. So they still get fully paid. It's just it comes out of the benefits.
And is the benefits number then a floating number, meaning the owners may have to overfund it in some years and underfund it in others? Because not every team uses qualified veteran contracts like that. It has two of them, for example.
It's just it's not per team. It's just a pool of money.
Okay.
And I don't know what happens if that benefit number, if they don't use the whole benefit, you know.
Let's say it was $1 million incremental per player, because that's pretty close. Okay, so let's say there's two per team, so it'd be $64 million just earmarked for that.
Right.
But you come up short, and there's only, instead of 64 players in the group, you only have 50 1 year. Do they each get 64/50 of $1 million, or what happens to the?
No, they still get the amount over that they're supposed to get. I just don't know where the balance of that pool goes at that point. Yeah, okay. And the other at the end of the year there's another, the name of it's escaping me, but you always see this list of hundreds of players after the season that got paid an extra amount because their performance outweighed. Yep. their, you know, especially for rookies and undrafted guys. And I can't remember what they call
it's
that.
Like a performance pay bonus or something. Or
yeah.
An escalator.
So, but not, well, that's different. That's an escalator that, and that happens for draft picks, but this is every player can get, and even some of the best players get a little bit huh. sometimes, but that's also comes out of benefit. So, you know, a couple of years ago, I'm trying to think, I think Bradley Bozeman was one who got a huge, I mean, he got a couple hundred grand bump in his second or third year when he first started starting. And since he was a sixth round pick, he's, you know, pretty low paid, but he got an extra couple hundred grand out of that pool. Now, again, what happens to that pool if they don't use it up, or whether that one maybe we figure out each player's proportion of the pool and then they split it up that way. So, you know, one player might get, you know, 10% of the pool. That's probably an exaggeration. One player gets 0.00000 whatever, you know, 5%. So that one probably does get divvied up just amongst how many players are going to be participating, so to speak, in that, or have earned that better word.
Okay. Does each team's player necessarily get each team get the same amount of money?
No, that's also, it's just league wide. You know, if you've outperformed, I guess they somehow put a value on your performance and it compares to your pay. And then, like I said, it's the later round draft picks and undrafted guys that usually seem to get the bigger numbers of that.
All right. Outstanding, Brian. Great conversation. You know, this is the kind of show where I do. I don't know if this has really broad popular appeal because it's technical and it's complicated. And a lot of the things that we get into in terms of math aren't, you know, don't have the biggest numbers, but I don't care. I love this conversation. So I really appreciate you coming on. Tell folks where they can find your work online.
Sure, sure. So right now, the quickest ways to find me, and certainly with news breaks on any cuts, restructures, extensions, and signings, and once we get past the new league year, that's at Raven Salary Cap on Twitter/X. And then my articles are on Russell Street Report. Just put out just last week my Bible, so to speak, the off-season Bible for with all the numbers and you know what you can go in there and decide what you want to do with this player or that player. And then obviously if signings and things come along, Tony Lombardi, Dev Patwal, and I do a free agent article, which should be out in the next 2 weeks, kind of, you know, does he stay or does he go kind of stuff. And we add, you know, our thoughts on those. So those are the next things coming.
All right. Outstanding, Brian. Other folks out there, hit me up. This is the month to do some shorts before draft material comes up. Draft material really comes out at the very beginning of April and lasts for pretty much that entire month leading up to the draft. But here in February and into March, we'll have some opportunities to do a little bit of other short topics. So if you have that topic you've just been itching to talk about, I want to hear from you. DM me directly. Otherwise, thanks for the wonderful listens. And if you're still listening at this point after a long show like this, really appreciate you. As always, word of mouth or a 5-star 50-word review is appreciated. Brian, thanks again for coming on.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. Anytime.
We'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Your old or broken phone can let you down, but at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence with a new line on my plan and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. After all, you don't want your old phone to die on you when you're lost.
Perfect.
Or for your broken phone to glitch at the worst possible time.
Hey, can I get your number?
Oh. Trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad.